Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 113 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, is brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, we're doing a makeshift podcast tonight because we recorded one last week that we were unable to post due to some technical difficulties, so I wanted to try again. Three of my guests that I had on last week will be joining me tonight, and I will be having the other three guests on later in the week as part of my next regular podcast. In a little while, I'll be visiting with two of the top girls cross-country runners in Iowa. They both capped off their seasons with outstanding performances at the state meet on October 30th. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. She is a senior defensive specialist on the Ankeny Centennial volleyball team, which ended its season last Monday with a loss to Ankeny in the Class 5A quarterfinals at the state tournament. She helped the Jaguars to a 16-10 record this season, and she had 10 digs in that loss to Ankeny. And she plays second on the team with 146 digs on the season. She is Millie Hill. Millie, thanks for coming in. How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, you bet. Well, thanks for coming back. I appreciate it. Sorry for the trouble, but we'll get into these questions that I had for you last week. Your team certainly got off to a good start in last Monday's match. You guys won the opening set 25-22, and then you took a 5-1 lead in the second set. You know, what do you think was working for you guys early on?
We were just playing our game, really focusing on our side of the net, and everyone was doing their job well. We were serving tough and passing well, and our hitters were just converting like we needed them to.
Well, sure looked like, you know, your team came into the match with some confidence, even though you had dropped a 3-1 decision to Ankeny on September 29th. You know, where did that confidence come from? Did you just feel like your team, you know, had really improved since that first meeting?
Yeah, we had. We worked a lot that week scouting Ankeny, and we had felt like we knew what they were going to do pretty well. And none of us had been to state before, so we really just tried to use that experience and that energy in the building to just push us forward into that game.
Well, Ankeny battled back and went on a 19-4 run to take control of the second set and went on to win the match in four sets. What adjustments do you think they made to turn the match around?
They switched their middles on us the second game. So that definitely threw Monica and Peyton off. They had to adjust to that. Reading a different middle is obviously a challenge. So that change definitely threw us off offensively.
Well, Fiona Schrader certainly had a big match for the Hawkettes. She kind of took over at times, either setting the ball, you know, to one of her teammates or taking some swings herself. You know, she's just really hard to stop, isn't she?
She is. She's a good player.
Well, of course, Ankeny went on to win the title. Did you watch any of those other matches, and were you rooting for them to win?
Yes, I watched the semis on my computer, and then we watched the championship, and I was rooting for them. I think they deserved it, and they definitely worked really hard to get that title.
Well, your team had kind of an up-and-down season. You guys got off to a 9-1 start that included a win over Dowling Catholic, which was the number one team for much of the season. And I think a lot of people were surprised by the success that you guys had, you know, especially because there were only three seniors on the team. What do you think was the key to that success early on?
Yeah, we just really just came into it and played our game, and we had no expectations coming into it, especially since that Dowling matchup. We hadn't had much practice prior, and we really just played together, and we meshed really well, and everyone was doing their job and really confident.
Well, your team's first loss to Ankeny started a slide for you guys where you lost 8 of your next 11 matches. What do you think was the reason for your struggles during that stretch?
I think we just kind of got down on ourselves once we had, and Ankeny's definitely tougher competition. We weren't used to that, but that's typically where a lot of teams get tired, that September stretch, and I think we did. We let it get to us a bit, but we managed to pick ourselves back up.
Well, you guys rebounded to win your last two matches of the regular season. Then you knocked off Ames and Urbandale to advance to state for the seventh time in eight seasons. And your team had to win that regional final against Urbandale without your coach, Jessica Reinhardt, who was home fighting a bout with COVID-19. Were you guys pretty motivated to win that one for her?
Yes, we were. We wanted to win it for her so we could get there. But we also knew how much she wanted it for us. So we were just really confident going into that match.
Well, Coach told me after the state tournament that, you know, your assistant coach, Sarah, was pretty nervous about taking over as the head coach for that match. Could you tell that she was nervous?
Yeah, a little bit. She stayed composed pretty well throughout the match, and I was definitely confident having her on the bench, and I knew that we were going to play well.
She even tried to dress like Jessica, didn't she?
She did. She did.
Well, even though this season didn't end the way you wanted it to, you know, you have to be awfully proud of what you guys accomplished. I think you guys, you know, got farther than a lot of people expected.
Yeah, we did. Super proud of my teammates and I.
Well, of course, you will be graduating, but do you think this team, you know, has a chance to be pretty good next year?
Yeah, I do. They're going to have to work hard, but because nothing's earned, but I definitely think they have a lot of experience gained off of this year, and that junior class is really strong, and so is the sophomore class.
Well, I'm sure you'll be turning your attention to track now because you are one of the state's top hurdlers. So when did the track workout start, or have they already?
They started this week, yep.
Well, I'm sure you're really looking forward to, you know, the track season. Are some other events other than the hurdles that you're going to be trying this year?
I've thought about trying long jump. We'll see. Definitely stick with shuttle hurdle and maybe 100 hurdles and 4x4 as well. But, yeah, super excited. Just fingers crossed that we get a season.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, Amelia, thanks a lot for coming in again tonight. I really appreciate it. You know, good luck the rest of the year.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest's premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office. Call 515-964-5952 or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right. Well, my next guest tonight is a senior at Ankeny who came out for cross country this fall for the first time, and what a season she had. She won all but two of her races, and at the state meet, she placed sixth in Class 4A with a time of 18 minutes, 27.6 seconds. It was the highest finish by an Ankeny runner since Jill Nelson placed fourth in 1993. And tonight she is joining me by phone because she is currently under quarantine. She is Lauren McMahon. Lauren, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Hey, well, I appreciate you taking the time. We recorded this last week, and obviously we're doing it again here tonight, so I appreciate the time. Well, congratulations on a great season. You really came out of nowhere this fall to become one of the state's top runners. And a few weeks ago, you verbally committed to join Iowa's track and field and cross-country programs. You know, boy, these last few months have really changed your life, haven't they? Well, I know in the past you've focused on soccer. You were a sophomore on the Ankeny team that won the Class 3A state title in 2019. And, of course, last season was wiped out by the coronavirus. So are you still playing some soccer, or have you kind of turned your attention fully to running now?
Yeah, so this fall I played with a recreational rush team. We just kind of got some friends together, and I played there. And I still plan on playing in the spring as well.
Oh, okay. Well, I know you told me previously that you really didn't know what to expect when you came out for cross country this fall. So you really had no idea that you had this much talent as a runner?
I mean, not really, no. I didn't think the season would go how it did.
Well, you started out the season by winning your first three races in convincing fashion. You then suffered your only loss of the regular season at the Southeast Polk Invitational on October 1st, where you finished second, about 6 seconds behind Ainsley Erzin of Carlisle, who was the eventual third-place finisher in Class 3A. Now, you obviously don't have a lot of experience running races, so did you learn some things from that loss?
Yeah, for sure, yep. I learned a lot about, like, the mental game and what to do with, like, when somebody passes you, and kind of just how you can always look to improve on things.
Well, then a week later, you had a rematch against Erzin at the Fort Dodge Invitational, and you came away with a win there in a time of 18:31. Now, there was a little bit of a controversy in that race because the two of you were running right with each other late in the race when you guys kind of clipped heels or something, and Ainsley went down, and she never really, you know, recovered. Can you kind of describe what happened, you know, in that situation?
Yeah, so it was probably about the last 400 meters, so about a quarter of a mile to go, and we were kind of going around a turn. And so we both wanted to get on the inside, I guess. And I kind of got, like, right up on her shoulder, and I'd say she kind of tried to cut in as well. And so her back heel kind of hit my leg, and then she went down. And then I stopped for a couple seconds. We were all just like, whoa, like, I'm sorry. Like, what happened and all that, so.
Yeah, she never really got going then again, did she?
No.
Yeah. Well, you followed up that victory by winning the CIML Iowa Conference race at Ames on October 15th, and then you held off Valley's Lauren Schultz to win the regional meet on October 21st at Marshalltown. Now, your victory there helped the Hawkettes to a third-place finish that allowed the team to qualify for state for the first time since 2016. So were you more excited about going to state for yourself or for the fact that the team made it?
The whole team, for sure. All those girls, they deserve to be there. So it was, yeah, a great experience.
Well, you were the top-ranked runner in Class 4A going into the state meet. You know, did you feel like you had a good chance to win it going into the race?
No, not necessarily. I wasn't necessarily looking at the rankings. I just really wanted to do the best that I possibly could and give it all that I had. So.
Now, you had seen the Fort Dodge course just a few weeks ago. So what did you learn about the course as far as, you know, the kind of strategic moves that you might want to make?
So I knew that all the girls would be going out pretty quick the first and second mile. on trying to stay with them as long as I could and just see what happened.
Well, you seem to get off to a pretty good start. You were running with the lead pack from the start, although Micah Pollitt of Linmar Marion really pushed the pace and opened up a pretty sizable lead. Now, I know Pollitt was one of the many runners in the race that you had never seen before, so maybe you didn't know what to expect, but were you surprised that she went out that fast?
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised that she went out that quickly, but I knew that we would all be kind of going fast as well with all the nerves and excitement going on the state.
Well, did you feel like you were in pretty good position midway through the race? Well, I know it just seemed like, you know, Pollitt eventually kind of came back to the pack. I mean, did you feel like as fast as she went out that was eventually going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, as fast as she was going out, usually, yeah, you would end up dying that third mile.
Well, she did fade a little bit, and she eventually finished fifth, but it was freshman Keely Lightson of Dubuque Hempstead who surged into the lead toward the end of the race and went on to win in a time of 18:08. She finished about 10 seconds ahead of Valley Schultz. Now, did you know anything about Lightson before the race? Well, of course, you led the way for your team as Ankeny placed 12th with 243 points. You guys did finish ahead of two of your CIML rivals, Dowling Catholic and Urbandale. You know, what did you think of your team's performance?
I thought that they all did amazing. All the girls, I mean, they gave it everything that they had. And that's all you can really ask for.
All right. And then your crosstown rival, Ankeny Centennial, got up on the awards podium with a third-place finish. The Jaguars had a great meet, didn't they? I'm sure the head coach of the Ankeny girls track team, Thomas Cotter, will be looking forward to having you on the squad in the spring. So is that what you're focusing on now, getting ready for the track season?
Yeah, later this winter I'll probably start focusing on track as well as soccer.
Well, I'm sure the 2 mile and the mile will be your best events on the track. Do you think you could also be a factor in some of those shorter distance races like the 800 or the 4x8?
I'm not sure about the shorter distance. I guess we'll just see how it goes this winter.
Yeah. All right, Lauren. Well, hey, thanks again for your time tonight. Hope you and your family get to feeling better. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You bet. Bye. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, my final guest tonight is a sophomore on the Ankeny Centennial squad, and she enjoyed a tremendous season for the Jaguars. At the state meet, she was an individual medalist in the Class 4A meet with a 14th place finish and a time of 18 minutes, 54.4 seconds. Her performance also led Centennial to the highest finish in school history as the Jaguars placed third with 141 points to earn a spot on the awards podium. She is Rondi Kwas. Rondi, thanks for coming back in again. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on the outstanding season. You know, when the season began, especially with all the COVID-19 restrictions that were in place, you know, you probably didn't even know if your team would be able to get through the whole season. Did you ever imagine that both you and your team would be up on the awards podium at the state meet?
I mean, at first we didn't even know if we'd get past 2 weeks with Corona going around. And by the end of the season, our confidence kept building and building. So I think it was a goal for us, but we never really believed we could do it. But it was just insane that it happened.
Well, you opened the season with a fifth place finish in the Kirk Schmaltz Invitational at DMAC on September 3rd, and you were running against a pretty strong competition at that meet. Did that performance kind of give you the confidence that you could be one of the state's top runners?
That first performance wasn't exactly the performance I wanted, but it gave me a better idea of what I would need to do in future meets, and that helped me to build up my confidence.
Well, you went on to place in the top five at six of your first seven meets, including a couple of runner-up finishes. You placed second at Valley's Tom Carpenter Invitational on September 15th, and then you took second a month later in the CIML Iowa Conference meet at Ames, where you finished behind Ankeny's Lauren McMahon. Now, we just talked to Lauren on the podcast, and she really came out of nowhere this fall to become the state's top-ranked runner in the second half of the season. Did you know anything about her before the season started or have any idea how good she was?
I heard a few people talking about her, and it sounded like she was really good, but I wasn't sure how she was going to do at races. But when race day came, she just went, she did an amazing job.
Well, Rhonda, you placed fifth in the regional meet at Council Bluffs as your team qualified for state. And then you followed that up with another outstanding race at state where you were just 2 seconds off the school record time that you posted at the conference meet. I know you told me that afterwards your goal was to place in the top 15 to become a medalist. So did you know as the race was unfolding about what place you were in?
I had a general idea because the crowd kept yelling anywhere from like 13th to 16th. So as I got towards the end, I wasn't positive I was in that top 15. So I was just trying to sprint it in and hope for the best.
Now, was the pace of the race what you expected? Because Micah Pollitt of Linmar went out pretty fast, and she built a sizable lead. Did you expect someone to go out and push the pace like that?
I mean, at state, you always expect like one or two to go out and kind of go for it. I mean, for my pace, I kind of went out as I expected. We had workouts, particularly for pacing our race. So as I went out there, I just felt confident knowing that I was going at the pace I needed to go.
We said you really sprinted there at the end, and I know you're obviously motivated to place in that top 15. There was a large gap, though, between you and the 15th place finisher. It was more than 16 seconds, and except for the last few runners in the field, that was the largest gap between any two runners in the race. So did you realize that nobody was coming up from behind you to challenge you?
I wasn't sure if anyone was coming up from behind me. I was too scared to look back. I was just hoping to finish without anybody passing me.
Well, after the race, you told me that you had no clue where your team had placed, but that every girl on your squad had a phenomenal race. So what was your reaction when you found out, you know, later that you guys had finished third?
Oh, we were jumping up and down and screaming. I almost, like, couldn't believe it. I was like, I knew we could do it, but it was just insane. It was, like, a great moment for our team to see all that hard work accumulate and become a great reward.
Well, I think you guys were off jogging and doing a cool down after the race when Coach Cogdale learned the results, because he came running over to where you guys had been standing, and you know he was just so excited to share the news with the team. You know, he was jumping and hollering and everything. I mean, did you hear about his reaction later?
Yeah, people kept telling us he must have set like a high jump world record. He jumped so high, and he swung one of our teammates, Kendall, around in a circle.
I'll bet. Yeah, he reminded me of Jim Valvano because he looked like somebody who was looking for somebody to hug. But well, speaking of Coach Cogdale, he was just named the Class 4A Coach of the Year. And your assistant, Gail Vanderwelt, was named the Assistant Coach of the Year. Boy, those are some well-deserved awards, weren't they?
Yeah, they're great coaches. I couldn't imagine having any other coaches. They really push us to be the best we can be.
And I know we can't forget about Kim Angus as well, because she does a great job too, doesn't she?
Yeah, I love Miss Angus.
Well, going into the meet, I know your team wanted to prove that you guys deserved the number 4 ranking that you had before the regional meet, since you dropped down to 7th in the final rankings. What did you think was going to be the key to earning a top 3 finish?
I think as long as we went out and did what we needed to do, I think we knew we deserved to be at least among the top 5. I think if we went out and hit it like we knew we could, I feel like there was no reason we couldn't get that goal of top 5 at least.
Well, I wanted to mention a few of the other girls on the team. Katie Jensen and Elena Wallace also placed in the top 30. They finished 22nd and 27th, respectively. Your other scoring runners were Anya Peck and Catherine Verthurms. Anya, who will also be competing in the state swim meet this Saturday, she placed 42nd. And Catherine, who is a 4-time state qualifier, finished 58th in her final race. Now, have you learned a lot from running with Catherine for the last two seasons?
Yeah, I love running with Kat pretty much every day. She's shown me a lot this season with how she's pushed through really difficult times since she got an injury early on in the season. And it was just really great to see her push through that even when it got hard. And I'm really proud of the season she had this season. And she's taught me a lot about just how to run every day and just become a better runner in general.
Now, did you guys do anything special to celebrate afterwards?
We went out and ate, and we just enjoyed the day because we were so proud of ourselves. We have a tradition of smashing tiles, so we haven't done it yet, but we're going to smash like a big tile to show that we achieved a huge accomplishment by getting third for the first time ever.
Where did that tradition come from?
I'm not quite sure, but I know Todd's done it forever. It's like if you get a PR, you smash a tile with your old PR, kind of like you're smashing away that PR.
Oh, okay.
And so for this, it's going to be like we got third, and the best we've ever done is, I think, 8th. So we wanted to celebrate that, and we're just going to do a super big tile and smash it.
Well, now, what are your plans for the off season? Will you be preparing for track?
Yeah, I'm planning to just run over winter and hopefully just keep improving with my teammates.
Now, which events do you think you'll be focusing on?
I'm hoping to focus on the 15 especially, but I'm also looking at the 3K and the 800.
Now, do you play any other sports, or have you in the past?
I used to play soccer and volleyball, but I switched over to cross country full time when I fell in love with it, as well as track, obviously.
Well, I assume you'd like to run in college. Have you looked at any schools yet?
I really do want to run in college. I haven't set my eyes on any specific school yet, but I'm just hoping to run in college.
All right, Ronnie. Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming back in again tonight. I really appreciate it, and enjoy the rest of your school year.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet.